Welcome to Faith Fellowship this morning. We're glad you're here. And as I was praying this week, I kind of had a direction I thought the Lord was wanting me to go, and he kind of changed it yesterday morning. We are living in perilous times. The Bible tells us the last days will be perilous times. And so we're gonna look at something a little bit different this morning, Matthew chapter 11. We're going to begin reading at verse 11. And Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not been one risen greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." This is an unusual passage, and when one would read this, you might think, well, I don't really understand this. Jesus is supposed to be loving and gentle and kind, and yet he says, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's true that we are in a war. Of course, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or not natural. We don't use swords or machine guns or hand grenades. Our sword is the Word of God. And it is sharp, two-edged sword that cuts going and coming. But we are in a war. We are in an information war. If you don't believe that, all you got to do is look at the censoring that's happening. Twitter and the media and Facebook. It's an information war. It's a war of truth and lies. And we are caught in the middle. And as Christians, we have to determine, how do we respond? Yes, we're to walk in love. Yes, we're to walk in gentleness. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So are we to be violent, or are we to be loving? Are we to be aggressive, or are we to be passive? So that's what we want to talk about this morning. This message may be controversial. Some may not agree with it. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would just illuminate your heart and show you where I believe the Lord is speaking to me on this. Now, we know that when Jesus went to the cross, that was a violent act. The writer of Isaiah basically said that his visage or his face was almost beyond recognition. And we see that on the road to Emmaus, the two walkers didn't even recognize Jesus until their eyes were opened. And maybe that was spiritual, or maybe that his face was so marred that he didn't look like the Jesus they once knew. That's violent. There's no denying that. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says he went to hell and he led captivity captive. He snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil and defeated him that day because of the victory of the cross. That's violent. And because of his statement, he said, from the day of John, and why John? Because John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now that single message is still the message of the cross today. It's the message that you and I say to people. Behold Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We're not saying anything political. We're not saying that we're going to kill you like ISIS if you convert. We just say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But by saying that, it brings out violence because the devil hates the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are in a war. There are dark, nefarious forces. But God is still on the throne. Amen? So Jesus defeated the devil at Calvary, this violent act. Isaiah 10:1 tells us, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed." Now what we're seeing on Facebook, what we're seeing on CNN, and what we're seeing in the media, what we're seeing in the streets of America, is something that God, the righteous God, pronounces a woe on. Now when you talk about God pronouncing a woe, and I didn't even include this in my notes, but you could read it in Matthew 23. Jesus pronounced seven woes on the Pharisee of his day. And when God pronounces a woe on you, you don't want to be under that judgment. Amen. And Isaiah says, woe to them that decree unrighteous decrees. Well, what are unrighteous decrees? Well, the murdering of unborn babies is an unrighteous decree. Just because the government says it's legal doesn't mean it's a righteous decree. God says it's an unrighteous decree. And so we see that there is a woe upon unrighteous decrees. There is a woe upon America. There is a woe upon the land. The kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. And in Isaiah 29, verse 15, we read, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter how deep you go. It doesn't matter what corner in the world you hide in. You cannot hide your counsel from the Lord, can you? And their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? Who knows us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Now, you know, we've done the creation versus evolution here before at the church. And it doesn't matter what you say. You can say, well, I grew out of some primordial soup. But you can't say to the maker that made you, you really didn't make me. Or the thing that framed you, say of them that framed you, he has no understanding. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? You know, we look at what's going on in the world today. We look at how it appears that the liberals literally tried to steal the presidency from Trump. But I got news for you. It's just a little while, so things are going to change. The writer of Isaiah said, is it not a little while until Lebanon becomes a fruitful field? And in that day, the deaf will hear the word of the book, and the eyes of the blind will see out of the obscurity and out of the darkness. And the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among the men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Church, I'm telling you, in a little while, things are about to change. Amen. In a little while, things are about to change. And so when you see what's going on in the world, it's not uncommon to feel discouraged. It's not uncommon to say, how long, Lord, are you going to allow wicked men to rule? How long are you going to allow these lies and deceit to go on? And God's saying, hang on just a little while longer. I'm in control. Things are about to change. In Isaiah 31:1, it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And you know, what does this mean? What does that mean to me? Well, I don't understand that, Brother Roger. I don't go to Egypt for help. You know, in ancient days, in Old Testament days, backslidden Israel would often go to Egypt for help instead of looking to the Lord. And that what that means to you and I is, you know, you may see what's going on in the world and you get discouraged and you may think, well, I need to go over here and get help. But you know what? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. We don't want to look to our banker. We don't want to look to even our preacher. I'm happy to help, but I'm not God. We look to the Lord. Amen. He's the maker of heaven and earth. We're not going to go down to Egypt. We're not going to look at the world for help. This world cannot help you. You know, there's coming a day, the Bible says, when the kingdoms of this world will unite under one man. The Bible calls him the beast or the Antichrist. And the liberal or the godless people of the world, they're going to reunite under this one man. It's like Israel going to Egypt. And they're going to declare him their Savior. But his power will be limited for a short span. And then the King of all kings will come. The Lord of all lords will come. And he will set up his kingdom. And his kingdom will last forever and forever. Amen. Micah chapter 2 verse 1 said, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. You know, I think that I look at this and I think about what happened with our election. President Trump won by a landslide. Listen to me, he really did win by a landslide. Doesn't matter what the media says, he won. And overnight, thousands upon thousands of mysterious votes showed up. There's ample evidence of voter fraud that has occurred. And I'm not preaching Trump. I'm not preaching politics. I'm simply saying this: there is a woe upon those people who think that because they have it in the power of their hand to do it, that somehow they're getting away with it. But there is a God that dwells in heaven that hasn't missed one lick of this. Amen? There's a God that dwells in heaven that understands what man is trying to do, and he's pronouncing a woe on them that devise iniquity because they think they have it in the power of their hand to do it. And God is saying, no, 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 no. I'm still God. Amen? And then there is this woe from the Old Testament from Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd. Now some say the idle shepherd here is the Antichrist. I kind of think it might be the false prophet. And certainly our current Pope fits the bill as the false prophet. And it says, woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock. It's pretty clear that our current Pope is not nearly concerned with the flock as he is with the geopolitical environment that he's trying to help usher in the one world government. And then it says, the sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. So those of you watching by Facebook, if you miss the rapture and you see the Pope or maybe the Antichrist gets injured and loses an arm and an eye, that's one of the woes that God pronounced. If God pronounces a woe on someone, you can bet your life it's going to happen. Amen? And so, who was the Democratic Party of ancient Israel? Again, I'm not talking politics. I'm making an illustration, okay? The Democratic Party of ancient Israel was the House of Ahab. You can pretty much look at the house of Ahab and you can draw many parallels to what's going on in the world. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings in the world. His wife Jezebel killed hundreds of the prophets, and you could tie these to people, but I'm not going to name names. And so there came the day when Elijah came to Ahab and he said, no rain is going to happen until I say so. You know, because God is not intimidated by liberal or godless people. Amen. He wasn't intimidated by Ahab and Jezebel, and he's not intimidated today. And Elijah came and he said, no rain will fall until I say so. And after 3 years, he showed himself to Ahab, and Ahab said, is that you, the one that troubles Israel? And Elijah the prophet said, it's not me, king, it's you, for you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, since 1962, when they took prayer out of school, wicked political people have troubled our land because they failed to obey the commandments of the Lord our God. Amen? And then we come to the showdown on Mount Carmel when Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal and, you know, call the fire from heaven. We know that story. And after they called and called and Baal didn't answer by fire, and he began to make fun of him. Where is he? Where's your God? Is he sleeping? Is he out going to the bathroom? You know, and he's laughing at him. Finally, he says, why do you guys halter between two opinions? And he's saying, why are you double-minded? And I see this even with some of my Christian friends on Facebook. They think that because you call black black or sin sin, that you're not walking in love. And so they're straddling the fence. You know, we are to call sin sin. We are to call lies lies. We are to call cheating cheating. And we're to have backbone and stand up as the prophets of old did and said, why are you haltering between two opinions? Either you're for God or for the devil. Amen? None of this in between. We're told by James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to be unstable in my ways. If someone's lying, they're a liar. If they're cheating, they're a cheater. And that's just the way it is. Amen? Well, you know, well, Brother Roger, we're supposed to walk in love. We're not supposed to rock the boat. I'll just leave it alone. You know, Jezebel was kind of the Nancy Pelosi of her day. And, you know, Jezebel thought the ends justified the means, and that's what we see in the politics today, but they're just liars and hypocrites. And Jezebel said, after the killing of the prophets by Elijah, "So let the gods do to me if I don't kill Elijah by the end of the day." And of course, we know the story. Elijah ran. When he got tired and couldn't run anymore, the angel gave him strength and he ran and ended up in a cave. Had a little bit of a pity party. I take great comfort when I see these men of God have pity parties. It lets me know that I'm not as bad as I thought I was. We're all human. We get discouraged. But after Elijah had his little pity party, and God revealed to him that he wasn't alone, then we read in 1 Kings 19, verse 15, "The Lord said to him, 'Go and return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, anoint him to be king over Israel, and Elisha, anoint him to be the prophet in your room. And it'll come to pass that he that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and he that escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha will slay.'" So what is God saying? He's saying to the godless people who thinks that they can get away with it, your day is coming. Amen. And I say this through Facebook and to anybody that's listening on the internet, you wicked and godless people, your day is coming. You think that what you do in the dark won't get away with it? Well, there is a God that dwells in heaven, and He is holy, and He is just, and He is righteous, and He will bring justice to the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we come to the chapter I'm doing, the chapter of Ahab and Elijah. You know this story throughout 1 Kings. We come to the story of Naboth's vineyard. Naboth, poor Naboth, just an innocent man that had a vineyard. Apparently it was a pretty nice vineyard because Ahab, the wicked king, wanted it. You know, when wicked kings want something, they think they're above the law to get it. And that's what it was with Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab come home, he's all sad. I wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard, but he won't sell it to me. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, Aren't you the king? Aren't you the govern the kingdom of Israel? Listen to that. Does that not sound like our politics today? Arise, eat bread. Let your heart be merry. I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And so she had wicked men come and speak lies about him. Boy, that kind of rings a little bit true today too, doesn't it? And so she stirred up the crowd that he had blasphemed God. And they took him out and they stoned him and they killed him. And then a bunch of dogs came and licked his blood. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And in 1 Kings 21:19 we read, "You shall speak to him saying, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' And you speak unto him and say, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours.' And Ahab said to Elijah, 'You found me, O my enemy.' And he answered, 'I have found you because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord.'" And I don't know if this video will go viral to Washington, D.C., but I'm here to tell you, politicians, you look at me and you look at me good. You have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and God, the righteous judge, will avenge. Amen. So God sent a lying spirit to Ahab, and he persuaded him to go to war with Raboth Gilead. And while he was out there, and he disguised himself so they wouldn't know he's a king, but some guy just shoots a stray arrow in the air, and the Holy Spirit goes, boom, and it just happened to pierce right between the bevels of armor of Ahab. And as he bled, he said, "You know, I got to get back." And he got back to the camp and he died. And the dogs licked his blood, just as the prophet Elijah said. And now, if you want to follow along with me, I didn't put this in my notes, so we're going to flip back to 2 Kings, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 9. verse 1. And Elisha, now we come to Elisha. Remember, he had him anoint, told him to go and anoint these people as his successors. You know, when Elijah, let me just say this, when Elijah was depressed and the Lord said to him, you know, you're not alone. And then he said, go and anoint these people as your successors, you know, anoint Jehu. Sometimes when we're depressed, the best thing we can do is have God tell us to get up and go do something for him. Amen. You can either sit there in your pity party, you can just get up and go do something for God. Amen. All right, that was a free commercial. 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. And then in verse 3 we read, I'll just keep reading. Now when you arrive in the place, look there for Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimish, and go and make him rise up among the associates, and take him to the inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head, and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee, and do not delay. Verse 4, so the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead, and when he had arrived, there was the captains of the army sitting, and he said, I have a message for you, commander. And Jehu said, for which one of us? And he said, for you, commander. Then he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and he said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males of Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. The dogs shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. And so here we see this commandment to anoint Jehu. And I kind of look at Jehu as a type of President Trump. And I pray that God anoints President Trump to destroy his enemies. You know, when that lying spirit came to Ahab and told him to go to war at Gilead, I see that as kind of like the lying spirit that told the Democrats, you can cheat and steal this election. And you know, it may very well be, I think the church was shaken a little bit by what they'd done and how could this happen. But maybe this was God's plan to start the war that will begin to bring about a massive change in our country in a way that we've never seen. It's not time, church, to be fearful. It's not time to be uncertain about the future. God holds the future and He knows what's going on. Amen. Now, if we just flip on over to verse 30. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through the window. And Jehu entered the gate and said, is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? And he looked at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three of the eunuchs looked out at him, and he said, throw her down. And so they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and he drank. Then he said, go now, see to this accursed woman, and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. And they went out to bury her, but they found no more of her than her skull and her feet and her palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which was spoken by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground of at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the corpse of Jezebel shall be refuse on the surface of the field in the plot of Jezreel, so they shall not say, here lies Jezebel. Now, one of the old preachers I used to listen to, J. Vernon McGee, I remember his commentary on this, and he said, so the dogs, the only thing they couldn't eat was their wicked hands and their wicked head. You know, wickedness has abounded in America, and it has reached the place where its cup is full. And, you know, sometimes I think we get rocked to sleep by the wickedness around us, and we aren't grieved the way God is grieved. I don't think we're angry the way God is angry. I don't think we're moved the way God is moved. And we just pray, God, give us men like Elijah and Elisha and Jehu who will not compromise, who will not be pacified by wickedness, who will say, no, this is wrong. It's not right. And there is justice to be had. And I believe that we're approaching that day. But what we need more than anything, and you know, when Peter took off the high priest's servant's ear in the garden with his sword, the kingdom of God doesn't suffer that violence. It's not that. It's not the physical sword. We fight our battle on our knees. Amen. We call upon the name of the Lord to exercise justice in the land. All through the Psalms we read David praying, O Lord, how long will it be until you avenge us from our enemies? O Lord, how long will you sleep until you whet your sword against the wickedness of the land? And I believe we're at that place where the church needs to start battling on their knees and start spiritual warfare against the hellacious things that man has thought he could get away with, because it's time for justice, it's time for truth, and it's time for righteousness to come back to the land. Amen? And you know, here's the deal. We do not need to be dismayed. We do not need to be discouraged. You know, when David was fleeing from Absalom, his son, who had taken the kingdom from him, much in the same way that we have seen in the politics today, and he had to flee. You know, it wasn't an army that brought David back. And even though David had some men out looking for him, it really wasn't the men that captured Solomon. It was his pride. Absalom, not Solomon. It was his pride because, if you remember, Absalom had that long, flowing hair. And it will be the pride of the wicked people in politics today that will take them down. Because as Absalom was riding his little donkey, his hair got caught in that tree. Yet it wasn't a tree. It was the long hand of Almighty God that got that rebellious man by the hair of his head and had him hanging between heaven and earth till Abner came through and ran him through with a sword. And I'm here to tell you, church, justice is coming. Righteousness is coming. And God is an avenger, and God is not asleep, and God does not wink at sin. That God is about to rise, and He has whetted His sword, and justice is coming to the United States of America. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. Glory, 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 glory. Father, we praise You today. We just worship You. Come on, church, let's just praise the Lord for a minute. We glorify Your name. We thank You, O Lamb of God, that You are still on the throne. We thank You, O Lamb of God, that You see what's going on in America, that You're not blind to what's going on. And we know, Lord, that You are the righteous and the holy and the just judge of all the earth. And You do not wink at sin, and You do not slumber, and You do not sleep. But, Lord, we know that Your day is coming when righteousness will prevail. And so, Lord, let the church be the church. Lord, the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. But, Lord, we will fight our battles on our knees. We will call on heaven as a witness for what's going on in our world, and we will pray the prayer of faith. We will call on God Almighty, the Avenger of the weak, the avenger of the lies, the avenger of the deceit. And we will lift up your name, the name above every name, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord today to invoke justice in the land. And we will give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming.